Our next guest lives life by an interesting equation. He believes that spending less helps you enjoy life more. And he definitely spends less. He soft boils his eggs in the dishwasher to save energy. He decants box wine into nicer bottles. He calls himself the Titan of Tightwads and King of the Gypsies. And now he's got a book of tips and tricks and philosophy called The Ultimate Cheapskate's Roadmap to True Riches. I'm very happy to welcome author Jeff Yeager. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Faye. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Have you ever tried to return thousands of dollars?
Enjoyed that last story. It doesn't surprise me. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, so I'm used to the politics. But I had this great idea for somebody running for a presidential campaign on a budget.
Yeah.
If they were to do it. First thing is go missing. And your picture is going to be on milk cartons everywhere, an Amber Alert.
And you're going to get so much TV coverage
because everyone will be like. I'm thinking immediately, go missing.
That's really smart.
There was sort of a draft the cheapskate campaign going. I'm willing to go missing.
Draft the cheapskate. Would you run for office?
I would consider it. I actually am a strong supporter of government. I actually think it's a good value in many instances. Yes, we can point to, $1,000 toilet seats and so on at the Pentagon. But the reality is I, as the cheapest man in America, think that government is in many instances a very good investment. It's the plumber who charges me too much or whatever that when I go out on my public roads and use my hospitals, I'm really overjoyed with the investment of my tax dollar.
Yeah, sure. I would imagine you'd send your kids to public school if you're...
If
right?
I had kids. I don't have any children, which is kind of surprising because, my wife and I always buy our birth control at the dollar store, so I'm surprised we don't have kids, but we don't.
Wow, you trust the dollar store birth control.
Well,
I would think if you're really a cheapskate, you use the Rhythm method because that's
right.
Free, right?
Well,
okay,
free,
I won't get
free,
that personal.
Yes, okay. We're what minute into the interview? We're getting very personal already.
That's my style,
yeah.
Sir.
Ooh, yes, love it.
So, all right. For starters, can you tell us why we need to slay our Enoughosaurus? It sounds like a Muppet.
Yeah, my book is it's my very first book, and I'm really proud of it. I always wanted to write this book. And it really has three elements. It's one, cram full of practical advice about how you can enjoy life more, but only if you're willing to spend less. Second, it's got a real laugh track to it, which I think we all need in these tough times. And third, there's very much a social message about everything from world poverty, world hunger, and the environment, and how all of that is impacted every day when we get out our wallets and decide what we're going to do and what we're going to spend.
So tell us what an Enoughosaurus is.
Enoughosaurus is sort of the backbone of the book, which is deciding what enough is for you. And let me tell you, I talk about what enough was for me or is for me, and the answer to what's enough for you, Faith, is going to be different. But I think we all need to ask ourselves that question. What would enough money and enough stuff look like to us? Because in writing the book, I ask hundreds of people, how much money? How much stuff do you want? And the number one answer was, well, I want more. Mm-hmm. I want as much as I can get. I certainly want more than my father or my brother had. But those are non-answers. How would you ever know when you've arrived?
Right. The first sentence of your book asks a really important question, I think. It asks what your first childhood memory of money is,
yeah.
Which was an interesting exercise. I enjoyed it. What does that first memory tell us?
I think that it's still with you in many ways. Ironically, and I am the cheapest man in America, and I'm proud of that, but my first memory of money, honest to God, was growing up in Toledo, Ohio, and swallowing a dime in the front yard. And I still get sort of a metallic taste in my mouth, ironically, whenever I empty out my change at the end of the day. My point is actually a serious one, which is we form impressions, unfortunately, I think, so early in life about money and stuff, and that influences throughout our entire life.
Mine was sitting in church and having the collection plate go by, and my parents would put on a check, and then they'd give each of the kids a dollar to put in. So it was a really nice memory.
Uh-huh.
So what does that tell me about my relationship with money?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you continue to be a religious person? A charitable person?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's revealing if that is your first memory, it was in a charitable context.
Right. So you don't grow up feeling scarcity.
It's ironic because I've never really talked about this part of the book, but mine, ironically, was of money that I found. So,
and you hung on to it.
Well, and still to this day, and I'm just turned 50 years old, I practice what I call cushion mining, which is looking for lost change in hotel lobby furniture. I'm doing it while I'm here.
Oh, come on, really?
I do. Those things are like upholstered ATMs.
But how much can you make doing that?
It's there.
And you look like a crazy man.
Someone must harvest it, for gosh sakes.
Well, all right. I want to get to how you became the self-proclaimed cheapest man in America. You've obviously cultivated this lifestyle. Well, you used to work for a nonprofit?
I spent 25 years managing national nonprofits in Washington, D.C. And what I grew to realize during that was it's a very valuable kind of financial training. It's not about making money, but it's how to get what you want, in this case, accomplish the mission and the good work of the nonprofit organization, without always having to go through the so-called money step, this act of earning the and spending money.
So if someone really, really wants an amazing vacation, they would get it by, what, saving rather than making money
to
spend?
No, I'm a big traveler. I travel all around the world. I travel very much on the cheap.
Well, you're traveling right now. You're doing this book tour in an unusual way. Are you really traveling by bicycle?
I am.
Again, in New York City?
Not on this particular trip, but very first book, and the publisher explained, you know, this is how it works. We fly you to a city for a book tour. We put you up in a nice hotel. We hire a media escort. It sounds like something your governor, your ex-governor had, to chauffeur you around in these cities, and it costs hundreds of dollars a day. And I said, listen, let's do something different. There's nothing more that I love to do than ride my bicycle. So I'm riding my bicycle various places around the country. I have done about 1,200 miles so far over about a month. I stay, and I really mean this, with local people who will put me up for the night for free on their couches.
Strangers.
Yes. Well, now some of my best friends, since I've stayed with them. And I take the money the publisher would normally spend on those book tours. And, you know, we don't donate it to Hilton Hotels or Avis rental cars. We're donating it to local libraries. Everybody wins.
That is admirable, the donation part. But well, let me ask you, what kind of quality of life is that? Like, I hate couches and strangers and love luxurious hotels. So if I make money and enjoy that, then what's wrong with getting pleasure out of what I like to do?
You know, there's... I try to throughout my book, not and maybe despite how I'm coming off this afternoon, it's not a preachy book. My whole point is about there's an alternative to what you just described, Faith, is that now the typical default setting for Americans is, well, gosh, we don't like strangers. We don't like any kind of hardship. My whole point is there's an alternative.
No, I've had hardship, but I prefer. Like, if I make money, if it's kind of the American way, isn't it, Jeff? Like, how do you fight against that? The American way is to work hard, make money, spend it, invest it, enjoy it.
And if you will, for just a moment, that is what the cheapskate is questioning. I have this sort of radical premise of my book, which is that for many Americans at the present time, the quality of their life will increase and their happiness will increase if they spend less and consume less, not more. So I'm sort of the anti-commercial. To get back to our little analogy of the bike tours, this is a perfect example. What does my publisher want out of bike tour, out of a book tour? As much publicity as they can get. Trust me, I'm getting tenfold the publicity because I'm doing it this way. What is Jeff Yeager like? Well, he loves to ride his bicycle and he loves to write. And this way, I'm getting to do both. And rather than, again, pay the money to Avis and Hilton, we're using it to do some good. So I think it's a perfect example of how we can all really get what we want and not just go to this default setting of media escorts, $200 a night Hilton hotels, and the rest of it. I told the publicist right up front, I didn't write this book to stay in a nice hotel. I wrote this book because I hope some people out there will listen to an alternative way of life.
And how does your wife, Denise, feel?
Oh, the poor, poor thing. You know, I talk about my poor wife, Denise. We've been married 24 years, or she says 3.5 good years, not all at once. Did you notice, Faith, that I dedicate the book to Denise?
Yes.
Because, I mean, she is a saint. I mean, can you
imagine? Did you give her an engagement ring?
Can you imagine?
Did you?
I did, yes. Okay. Can you imagine being married to America's cheapest man? So I had to dedicate the book to her. Now, I mean... She's not read the book yet. I'm still waiting for her to fork over the $12.95, just like anybody else.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry, honey. Got to buy a ticket to see the show.
All right, Jeff, I want to bring in another voice here. This is an economist reality show, okay? We have Tyler Cowen. He's an economist and an author of Discover Your Inner Economist. Tyler, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. So you're a behavioral economist. Do you think Americans would be willing to make the kind of change that Jeff Yeager is suggesting?
No, I think people enjoy wanting more. They enjoy reaching for that next step. As I understand Mr. Yeager, he's making being cheap a kind of fetish, just like the people who make spending money into a fetish. But to my view, it's a fetish that's less fun.
Is that fair, Jeff? Are you a fetishist?
No, I can't deny it in certain contexts, but I think that's absolutely unfair, Tyler. And I mean, I'll say a couple of things. One is, there's a very serious part to my book, which is I believe, catch this, Tyler, I believe that the current rates of spending and consumption in the United States are both unsustainable to the earth and unfair to everybody else on the face of the earth. Having said that, the cheapskate has good news, which is it's also absolutely unnecessary to enjoying a perfectly wonderful life. So if you buy the first part of my premise about the injustice of our current spending and find some hope in the last part of my message, I think I'm onto something.
But look, I'm all for saving, but it doesn't get you around consumerism. You take your money, you put it in the bank, put it in the stock market. 20 years down the road, it's just more money. Someone is going to spend it on something. You're not really getting around the chase to always have more.
Tyler, wait, hold on. Let me ask you this, Tyler. If a significant number of people buy Jeff's book and become cheapskates, what would it do to the American economy?
In the short run, there'd be a transition as the economy shifted to more saving and less spending. But what it would mean is when people eventually cashed in their savings, there'd be even more spending than we have today. So Mr. Yeager isn't getting us around consumerism. He's just telling us to postpone it for a bit.
Finally, to both of you, can one's inner cheapskate and an inner economist get along?
I think the two of us would get along if we met.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think we have some major differences. And I just want to say one thing for the record. My philosophy of life is not about hoarding money or earning money for the sake of amassing a fortune. It's anything but that. My supposition is very simple. We could afford to spend less of our lifetime and energy earning money. You don't have to earn it. I'm not talking about locking it away in a Jack Benny vault. I'm talking about not earning it in the first place and, frankly, allowing more of the Earth's resources to be shared with the rest of the world. We are, of course, 5% of the world's population. We use 30% of the resources. I say foul. I say it's unfair. I say it's unsustainable.
All right, if you guys go out for a drink, I don't know who's going to buy.
Yeah, I'm going to bring my 2-for-1 coupon, and mine's the free one, by the way.
Thanks, guys. Tyler Cowen is the author of Discover Your Inner Economist, and Jeff Yeager's book is The Ultimate Cheapskate's Roadmap to True Riches. Easy for me to say. I'm going to try that again. The Ultimate Cheapskate's Roadmap to True Riches. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, stay cheap.